The following program is a presentation of the Arkansas Symphony and UALR Public Radio.
This is Jeffrey Robson for the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra, and you are listening to At the Symphony. In this program, we will preview and explore the music of the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra Masterworks series. That series resumes this weekend in Central Arkansas at the Maumelle Performing Arts Center, as the symphony takes the stage to perform the epic Symphony No. 7 of Anton Bruckner. Bruckner is sometimes overlooked when considering the lineage of great Viennese composers from Mozart to Mahler. He was an important symphonic composer, with his works having real impact on other late romantics like Mahler. He was definitely not of the typical composer mold, however. He was a devout Catholic, and his musical training was inextricably tied to his church life. He came of age in the Austrian town of St. Florian, which is still today known for high-level sacred music and its boys' choir. Bruckner joined this boys' choir at the age of 13 in 1837. He was learning to play the organ as well and was fascinated by the stunning organ in the monastery at St. Florian that was rebuilt the year he arrived there. He became a teacher and returned to St. Florian at the age of 21 as a teacher and organist and would stay for 10 more years. He continued his musical training as well, seeking lessons with highly respected Viennese professors. His style of composition developed gradually, consisting of sacred music and eventually symphonies. It is easy to imagine his music being conceived as organ music. There are vast blocks of sound like those from a pipe organ. There are long, sustained melodies that always have a feeling of longing, aspirational like so much sacred music. The way to listen to this music is to let it wash over you and carry you to a state of reflection. There is no objective or programmatic content. It is purely music that glorifies music.
Thank you.
That was from the first movement of Bruckner's Symphony No. 7 in E major, in a recording of Eugen Jochum conducting the Staatskapelle Dresden. I'm Jeffrey Robson, associate conductor of the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra, and you're listening to At the Symphony. The Arkansas Symphony Orchestra will play this work in its entirety this weekend as the orchestra resumes its Masterwork series with concerts Saturday, October 18th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday the 19th at 3. This work was premiered in 1883, in the year of Richard Wagner's death. This Symphony No. 7 propelled him into the greatest fame he was to know in his career at the age of 60. In late 19th century Vienna, music lovers and critics had come to regard Bruckner's music as being in the Wagner style as opposed to the Brahms style. It's a bit incongruous, as the music is absolute music, meaning there is no storyline or programmatic content, but the expansive orchestration and the music's somewhat meandering harmony and chromaticism may be influences from Wagner. Bruckner wrote the beautiful second movement of this symphony in the months preceding Wagner's death, as he was in seriously declining health. Seemingly by way of tribute, he uses the Wagner tuba, an instrument Wagner invented for his operas, in the opening of this movement, is again gloriously beautiful. Like all great works of art, music is prone to theft, misuse, alteration, and concealment. Bruckner was perhaps prone to this especially because he was apparently an individual with a vigorous inferiority complex and a provincial man who did not spend his formative years enjoying a cosmopolitan, politically savvy life. He revised his works many times at the advice of others and in doing so created an editorial nightmare out of his pieces that lasted decades into the 20th century. His music also came to be admired by the likes of Adolf Hitler. German state radio played this adagio after the Nazi German defeat at Stalingrad and when Hitler died again in 1945. It appears that Bruckner's music fell victim to political appropriation, and it took decades to undo. No anti-Semitic comments have ever been found in any of Bruckner's letters or records, although he must have been aware of the ugly political views some of his supporters took even during his lifetime. He, as a native Austrian and a Christian, was the perfect candidate for the pure German music poster boy. The meaning of his music was indeed hijacked. This legacy has undoubtedly tarnished Bruckner's reputation even to this day. Finally, the association has begun to dim, however, and Bruckner's glorious music is being enjoyed for what it is. It is music from the heart that yearns for understanding of a greater existence. To Bruckner, that was a heavenly existence. This adagio is really the centerpiece of the entire symphony. Like the slow movement in some of Beethoven's late works, Quartet Opus No. 132, for example, this movement provides the emotional underpinning for the entire work. You're listening to At the Symphony. You're listening to At the Symphony, a production of the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra and UALR Public Radio. We've been listening to Anton Bruckner's Symphony No. 7 in E major, a recording of the Staatskapelle Dresden under the baton of Eugen Jochum, one of the great interpreters of Bruckner's music. The next two movements that follow the monumental adagio are shorter and more conventional, although they both exhibit Bruckner's compositional style perfectly. There is no doubt that Bruckner evokes Beethoven, particularly in the scherzo from his Ninth Symphony, in this movement. However, the abrupt and brash harmonic changes, the vast pulsating blocks of sound that swell and recede, are distinctly the voice of Bruckner himself. One can see how Mahler drew ideas for his brass instrument writing from works such as this. That was the scherzo from the Symphony No. 7 of Anton Bruckner, performed by the German orchestra Staatskapelle Dresden with conductor Eugen Jochum. The Arkansas Symphony Orchestra will perform this work in its entirety this weekend at the Maumelle Performing Arts Center. Also on the program will be Joseph Haydn's famous trumpet concerto in E-flat, with the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra featuring one of its own, principal trumpet Richard Jorgensen. We'll discuss that work after we listen to the celestial climax at the end of Bruckner's 7th Symphony, once again with Staatskapelle Dresden, Eugen Joachim conducting.
Thank you.
This is At the Symphony with Jeffrey Robson. You've been listening to music of Anton Bruckner, his Symphony No. 7 in a recording of Maestro Eugen Jochum conducting the Staatskapelle Dresden. On Saturday, October 18th and Sunday the 19th, the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra will perform this piece in its entirety as the orchestra resumes its Masterworks series at the Maumel Performing Arts Center. Also on the program will be Joseph Haydn's Trumpet Concerto in E-flat Major, with Richard Jorgensen as featured soloist. You're listening to the Haydn Trumpet Concerto, performed by the English Chamber Orchestra with soloist Wynton Marsalis. This weekend, the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra is proud to present longtime principal trumpet Richard or Dick Jorgensen as featured guest artist in Haydn's Trumpet Concerto. Mr. Jorgensen has been principal trumpet since 1976 here in Arkansas, and before that performed as a member of the Phoenix Symphony. In addition to performing thousands of concerts with the ASO, he has inspired two generations of trumpet students across the state as a longtime faculty member at Arkansas State University and now UALR. Mr. Jorgensen also plays many concerts in and around his summer home of Interlochen, Michigan. Haydn wrote his trumpet concerto at the request of his friend and professional trumpet colleague, Anton Weidinger. Weidinger had invented a new type of trumpet that had finger keyholes, allowing it to play a full chromatic scale, as opposed to just the harmonic series in one key. This instrument, however, was far from technically perfect, and in fact was never used in orchestras. Trumpet players continued playing natural trumpets in orchestras well into the 19th century until they were replaced by modern rotary and piston valve trumpets. However, this keyed trumpet made by Weidinger did give a few classical composers an opportunity to write a concerto for an instrument that had little solo repertoire after the end of the Baroque era. Here is the lyrical second movement of Haydn's Trumpet Concerto. You've been listening to Haydn's Trumpet Concerto in E-flat major with the English Chamber Orchestra featuring Wynton Marsalis on the trumpet. You can hear this work in its entirety this weekend as the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra takes the stage to resume its Masterworks series at the Maumelle Performing Arts Center. On the program, Haydn's Trumpet Concerto featuring the ASO's own Richard Jorgensen and concluding with the monumental Symphony No. 7 in E major of Anton Bruckner. It is an evening of blazing brass at the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra with performances Saturday, October 18th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 19th at 3. Again, these will occur at the Maumelle Performing Arts Center, and on the podium will be music director Philip Mann. As usual, the concerts will be preceded by concert conversations, a pre-concert talk given by Philip Mann himself. Those are 1 hour before each performance in the hall. Visit ArkansasSymphony.org for directions and tickets. Until then, this is Jeffrey Robson for the Arkansas Symphony Orchestra, and we'll see you at the symphony.
You have been listening to At the Symphony with Jeffrey Robson, a presentation of the Arkansas Symphony and UALR Public Radio.